The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, July 25th, 2016. Hola, Bardophiles, and welcome to the 113th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included Shakespeare and Beyond, the blog over at the Folger Library, ran a piece on Taffety Punk's annual Summer Shakespeare in a Day event, where they rehearse and perform a play in just one day. This year was Henry VI, Part 1. Decider.com ran a piece on HBO's new limited series, The Night Of, and its similarities to Hamlet, especially in the concept of being constantly watched. The Washington Post ran a piece on the Capitol Fringe Festival in Washington, D.C., and how Shakespeare is playing a part. Three productions that sound out there and very cool. Slate ran a wonderful piece, a close reading of Timon's insult speech from Timon of Athens. Good stuff. The New York Times ran an interesting piece linking Ted Cruz's RNC speech to a speaker in Shakespeare, Mark Antony and Julius Caesar. It's an interesting argument. In the run-up to the opening of the second play in this year's Shakespeare in the Park season in New York City, The New Yorker ran a piece on actor Corey Stoll from House of Games as he takes on Ulysses in Troilus and Cressida. The Chicago Tribune ran a piece on the Viola Project, which brings together girls ages 10 to 16 and immerses them in Shakespeare as a way of teaching them to own and use their voices. It's a great story. CT Now ran a piece previewing the range of outdoor summer Shakespeare productions in the state of Connecticut. The Arizona's Daily Sun previewed the upcoming productions of Romeo and Juliet and A Midsummer Night's Dream by the Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival, running through next weekend at various locations in the Flagstaff, Arizona area. Theater Mania ran an interview with Rachel Pickup, who's playing Portia in the world tour of Shakespeare's Globes, The Merchant of Venice, with Jonathan Pryce. Alas, no Southern California stops. The Huffington Post reviewed that Shakespeare's Globe presentation of The Merchant of Venice during its New York stop, calling it first rate. Time Out New York also reviewed the production, not as positively, calling it merely standard and competent. And Daily Variety also reviewed it, calling it stunning and dazzling. DC Metro Theater Arts reviewed The Comedy of Errors by Delaware Shakespeare Festival, running through the end of the month in Wilmington, Delaware, calling it perfect lighthearted fare. Newsworks reviewed The Taming of the Shrew by Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival, running through August 7th in Center Valley, Pennsylvania, calling it particularly goofy and beautifully acted. The Morning Call also reviewed the production, calling it unusual and engaging. The National Post reviewed both Hamlet and All's Well That Ends Well by Shakespeare in High Park, running in repertory through September the 4th in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, praising Hamlet, but not so much All's Well. The Morning Call reviewed Richard II by Michigan Shakespeare Festival, running through mid-August in various locations in Michigan, giving it a rave for a 4-star review and calling it superb. North Country Public Radio reviewed Much Ado About Nothing by Adirondack Shakespeare Company in New York State, saying that this Shakespeare in the Raw production done in the outdoors, in the sunlight, and with little or no sets is living Shakespeare the way it was meant to be played. Our partners over at the Shakespeare Standard reviewed Macbeth by Shakespeare's Globe running in London through October the 1st, giving the production a rave review, calling it original, effective, and revelation-like. Mike.com reviewed the memoir Sex with Shakespeare by Gillian Keenan, a coming-of-age tale combining feminist literary criticism and BDSM. Sounds like a poolside read, if you ask me. The Los Angeles Times reviewed Twelfth Night by Courage Theater Company, running in Burbank, California through August 13th, presented as a contemporary fable about diversity and tolerance, giving the production, done in multiple languages and accents, a positive review, though noting familiarity with the original text is probably helpful. Sounds cool. And finally, the Huffington Post ran a rave review of Independent Shakespeare Company's Richard III that closed this past weekend in L.A. And if you read my blog, you know that I loved it as well. Let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On July 19th, 1950, Adrian Noble, famed theatrical director and one-time artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, was born. On July 20th, 1398, Roger Mortimer, 4th Earl of March, died in battle. He was the heir presumptive to Richard II, but predeceased him by a year. His brother Edmund is the ransomed Mortimer for whom the Percys are rebelling in Henry IV, Part 1. On July 21st, 1403, the Battle of Shrewsbury took place. As part of the Percy Rebellions, 1402 to 1408, against Henry IV, Hotspur's defeat and death ended his revolt against Henry IV. During the battle, Hal, Prince of Wales, was hit in the face with an arrow and was scarred for life. This was depicted in the first part of Henry IV. On July 22nd, 1461, Charles VII of France died at age 58. His father, Charles VI, had recognized Henry V as heir to the throne of France, and his sister Catherine married Henry V. Charles was depicted as the Dauphin in the first part of Henry VI and as King Charles in the third part of Henry VI. Also on this date in 1598, the Merchant of Venice was entered into the Stationers' Company registered by James Roberts. On July 23rd, 1403, Thomas Percy, 1st Earl of Worcester and uncle to Henry Hotspur Percy, was executed after having been captured 2 days earlier at the Battle of Shrewsbury. The Percy Rebellions, 1402 to 1408, was depicted in the first part of Henry IV. On July 24th, 1567, Mary, Queen of Scots, the Queen Regent of Scotland, ended her reign when she was forced to abdicate, allowing her one-year-old son James VI, the future James I of England, to become King of Scotland. On July 25th, 1603, James VI of Scotland, remember him from yesterday, was crowned James I of England after the death of Elizabeth. And that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending July 25th, 2016. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.